two, three, four. Get up,
get on up.
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 Warning: getting up may cause headaches and nausea. Do not get up if operating heavy machinery. If affected, get down again immediately. Children under 12 are advised to get halfway up. James Brown Associates take no responsibilities for injuries incurred whilst getting up. All inquiries regarding getting up should be addressed to James Brown Associates, Post Office Box 148734, Georgia, USA.
Hello and welcome to Listen Up. I'm Phil Whelans.
I'm Phil Nickel.
And I'm Phil Richard Vrunch.
Later on, we'll be meeting classically trained victim, Matthew Craddock.
And talking to one of the backroom boys who always wants more.
In the studio, we've got American country legend, Greasy Fist Joe.
But first, our competition. Listen up to this. Now, if you think that was you, then get in touch with us through our website and you could win a big prize. So, Phil.
Yes? Yes.
No, not you.
In the 90s, concert pianist Matthew Craddock dominated the classical landscape like a talented A-road on a cultural map.
Well, thank you.
Which was a terrifying coincidence, since it was A-road that was to be his downfall.
No, that's not really a coincidence. You called me A-road.
Known for living life in the fast lane, there was a horrible inevitability, Matthew, to the news that you'd been involved in a high-speed collision involving a passenger coach on the M6.
Yes. I'd been collecting and racing passenger coaches for some time. I'd just bought a Mercedes Toro 53-seater, and I was eager to open her up and see what she could do.
Incredibly, no other vehicles were damaged in the 110-mile-an-hour crash.
No. Fortunately, I hit a motorway service station.
Which was actually written off in the collision.
Yes, they wrote it off.
Once the cranes arrived and the coach was lifted off you, you were taken to hospital. How soon was it that you realised the extent of the damage?
Well, the first thing I remember was having a sponge bath and thinking, that didn't take very long. And the nurse explaining that there was quite a lot less of me to bath.
We all know the extent of Matthew's injuries, and we all know equally how he defied medical experts and the laws of physics to return to the instrument that, Matthew, most of us thought you'd never play again.
Yes, that's right. I was determined to play the piano again. For inspiration, I met every high achiever I could who'd overcome the kind of injuries that I'd sustained. I spoke to Rick Allen, the drummer from Def Leppard.
Who, of course, lost an arm in a car crash. He must have helped enormously.
Not really. I play the piano. None of them were any help, really, and I think I made them uncomfortable.
But just a year after the crash, an expectant crowd filled the Royal Festival Hall for your comeback concert.
This is the Moonlight Sonata.
Now, that must hurt.
Yes, it does. I don't really do it anymore. You see, Lonnie Basalt from the California Institute of Technology approached me with a computer program allowing me to play with my left hand whilst triggering the notes of the melody with a voice recognition module.
Well, can we hear a little of this technique?
So here we are, left hand as normal. Three, five, four, three, seven, six, seven, one, minus four, minus six, and so on.
How long did this technique take to master?
Six, 8 months. The machine's still on.
How does one...
I see. It heard you say one. Now I said it two. It thought I said two. I said one, two. Oh, blooming thing, how do you switch it off?
I can see it being ideal for... I didn't mean the number four.
I'm sorry, there's a switch somewhere.
So it allocates a number to all 12 notes of the scale. But how, for example, do you... How do you truncate a note?
You said eight, truncate. I'm sorry about this.
Perhaps we'll leave it there. Matthew Craddock is on tour from the 5th of this month. Kicking off where, Matthew?
Sevenoaks.
Should I take him to the bridge?
Go ahead.
Take him on to the bridge.
Take him to the bridge.
Can I take him to the bridge?
Yeah.
Take him to the bridge.
Yeah.
Hit me now.
Warning. If driving a high-sided vehicle in strong winds, do not take it to the bridge. If in command of an infantry platoon, always break ranks before taking it to the bridge. If taking antidepressants or suffering from suicidal tendencies, avoid bridges altogether unless accompanied by a doctor.
Get up, get
on up. Greasy Fist Joe is a country legend and a lesson in sticking to your guns.
Oh my, the garden deer, the daughter deer, but the golden candy, the daughter deer, the hoppoo!
With his trademark engineer's cap, overalls, black afro, and Ron Jeremy moustache.
Hey, come on, they don't want to see your old elf.
Oh, that's right. Greasy Fist claims that Ron Jeremy stole the idea from him.
That's right, hey, hold up, don't want to Tom Selleck.
And of course, the Iraqi army.
That's the way I don't see your old daughter do it.
Oh, Tom Selleck.
Yeah, don't see your old daughter do it.
And Jim Engrier.
Yeah.
His first album, the Bluegrass album, The Grass Is Always Bluer on the Other Side, stormed the American charts.
Hold the money, need it, hold the cheek and do it, but the dee dee, the oka dugga do.
And of course, Greasy Joe, you broke new ground with your record Lonesome Fist.
Hold it, boy, lick it, dude, diggity, do, do, hit the diggity, do, John Travolta's legs.
It was a critical and a commercial failure, but it came to the attention of the Japanese Olympic Committee, who asked him to compose the music for the opening ceremony for the 1972 Sapporo Winter Olympics.
Home bunny, no, did do Winter Olympics, oh, diggity, 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 do, bobsled, itchy.
And of course, that was a record in two ways. More copies were returned than were actually pressed in the first place.
Well,
that's a good point, Greasy Joe.
Here's your own. Here's your own. Here's your own.
And
oh boy.
Seriously though, this alienated you from the American country music establishment. Well, they are. They called your music Yellowgrass instead of Bluegrass. You further alienated the American government with your record Standing on the Greasy Knoll.
Yeah, so why don't somebody say to Kennedy, but so you just walked up my Marilyn Monroe, got a bucket, don't you do with him, Polly Yates, boot John Bon Jovi.
But that was never proved.
No, yeah, no, that's funny, somebody said to Union Carbide, don't forget about the peak. Pork pie.
That's right, that was the beginning of your flirtation with politics. Yes. You were the opening act in the anti-noise pollution rally, Don't Turn Up.
Yeah, we tell what, yeah.
And no one turned up.
That's it.
Your Lounge album was a huge departure. Where did you have the idea? Oh, in a departure lounge.
Yes.
And you recorded the album there and then?
Hold up, where's my plane?
And you released that in several languages.
And
you were sued by Bob Dylan after that recording.
Bob, give me a call. And he said, Greasy, by me.
That's typical of Bob Dylan.
That's him all over. That's tremendous, Greasy Fist. We have to bring things to a close now, but perhaps you'd just like to tell us where the opening dates of your tour are and how people can buy tickets.
Sevenoaks.
Come on, stay on the scene, like a loving machine. Stay on the scene, like a loving machine.
James Brown Associates reserve the right to alter, move, or cancel the scene without notice. Particulars of The Scene are correct at the time of going to press, and discrepancies in The Scene may be due to variations in the colour printing process. All comments and suggestions regarding The Scene should be addressed to James Brown Associates. In opera, the show ain't over till the fat lady sings. But with most other concerts, the show ain't over till Jim Ryder says so. Jim's no fat lady, but he is one of a handful of experts whose job it is to decide if there's going to be an encore and how long we have to wait for it. Jim, welcome.
Thank you and good night.
Good evening, Jim. Would you say audiences have come to expect an encore?
Oh, yes.
Tell me more.
Pardon?
More?
I can't hear you.
More. Jim. More.
You see, the more you had to wait, the better it was in the end.
So timing is everything.
Well, ideally, I'd like them to have given up all hope. I mean, some of them will have their coats on, some will be nearly out the door, some will have got home and forgotten all about it. You have to create the demand.
But that puts a lot of pressure on the artist to deliver.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look at Rick Wakeman, the Six Wives of Henry VIII.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that went down so well, he had to make up another wife for the encore, Susan of Gibraltar.
Beheaded?
If I was lucky.
And you worked with the Doors?
Oh, the Doors. They used to open with The End and everyone would bugger off home.
Ah, well, audiences can be very literal.
Well, they had to stop doing Light My Fire.
These days, concerts are more high-tech.
They mind up backing tracks. I see them go back on for the encore and someone's wound the tape right back to the beginning. The old concert again. Mind you, nobody notices. Not the audience, certainly not the band.
No. Can the wait for the encore ever be too long?
Well, I left it a smidge too long with Fleetwood Mac. By the time they got back on, two of them had remarried each other.
Classical concerts must be far more straightforward.
Oh, no, like when the Berlin Philharmonic did Haydn's Unfinished Symphony.
What happened?
Well, they came back on and finished it. The purists went potty. Smashed the place up. 5 deaths.
So what's next for Jim Ryder?
I'm going to be doing a performance of the John Cage piece. 4 minutes, 33 seconds.
Ah, now, this is the entirely silent piece. All you hear is the atmosphere of the concert hall.
Yeah, now the encore is going to be interesting. Are they going to do the last bit again? Or the first bit again, which is my favourite bit? Or perhaps they'll do something completely different and we won't even know.
Well, they might actually play something.
But you never know with musicians. That's the trouble.
What's been the longest wait before an encore?
It's actually still going on. There's a few diehard Mega Slash fans still opening their return to an open-air stage in Stuttgart.
And will they?
Well, I doubt it. They've all been ordained into separate orders. Two of them silent.
So if the crowd really won't go home after a gig, Jim, is there any way of calming them down?
Ballads.
Well, I only asked. It's perfectly
clear. Oh, no, a ballad. So slow, boring, depressing. They can hardly bear to clap. Then it's house lights up and piss off home.
And on that note, Jim Ryder, thank you very much.
Well, that's it, is it?
Yeah.
That, not till I say so. Okay.
Thanks.
And now, your letters. 10-year-old Tim Stoppard from Chester writes...
At school today, we learnt about the sirens, mythical Greek women whose beautiful singing lured sailors to their deaths. But is it possible to bend people's will just by singing to them?
Well, Tim, in the late 1960s, American singer Tony Bruschetta landed himself in hot water for hiding subliminal messages in his records. Have a listen to this.
You're the cream in my eclair. You're the Fred in my estate. Drink Pepsi. If you were invisible, I'd still know you were there. By this record. You're the sherry in my trifle. You're the bullet in my Fort Nixon rifle. It's you I'd toast. It's you I'd roast. Because you're the...
By this record.
Did you spot those hidden messages?
Well, the fact is, anyone could. And Tony Bruschetta went to prison when his 1972 record, You Put the U in Beautiful, contained very clear instructions on how to break into his ex-wife's apartment and murder her.
Darren Aikborn from Brighton says...
Whenever I hear a siren...
Another question about sirens.
Whenever I hear a siren, I understand that the sound has to be loud to alert people's attention. But does it have to be such a horrible noise? Are horrible noises louder than nice noises?
Ah.
Well, that's a terrific question, Darren, and one close to my heart. Sirens have to modulate between two or more frequencies. If they only played on one frequency, that frequency might get swallowed up by ambient noise or standing waves.
And of course, the first form of siren to move rapidly between two frequencies was called yodeling.
That's right. Yodeling was developed by the Swiss as a form of distress call. Listen to this. To the untrained ear, this sounds like a pleasant piece of pop music, but terrifyingly, this is the sound of someone with their arm stuck in a bear trap. How about this? To anyone familiar with extreme danger or Austrian folk music, this says, I've fallen down a ravine. Or as we say in Canada, I've fallen down a ravine.
Mm, the tragedy of yodeling. Our next question comes from Flo Orton from Leicester. Flo is 73 years young.
Dear Phil, on Roxy Music's fourth album, Siren... Siren?
I don't believe it. Siren
oh,
again.
It's funny, wow. Funny world.
Three questions on Siren. How...
Oh, Siren. Siren.
Well done, Janet. Well done,
now,
Janet.
That's the home base X-Force 2, I think. Is it the two or the three? Yeah.
It is. I should explain.
It's 9 volts.
Janet, our sound engineer, has played in the sound of a siren.
Very good, Janet.
Such
very
a coincidence funny, with...
Where's all, Janet?
I can't see her.
No, I can't see her through the glass.
Janet! Janet! Hello?
Is that smoke I can see?
That can't be smoke.
You can't see smoke.
It couldn't. That can't be a real sign.
No, I can't. They wouldn't have abandoned us in this basement, surely.
Is that Greasy Fist, I can see?
Greasy Fist, could you let us out?
Yeah, no, what's that? Open the...
You've started a what?
No, he said... He said Janet's been fired, I think.
Oh, no.
I think...
Help.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Someone let us out.
Janet? Hello!
We're trapped down in the basement!
Fire!
We're in the basement! Help!
Fire!
Listen Up was written and performed by Phil Nichol, Phil Whelans and Phil Richard Branch. It was produced... And Listen Up will be back in the autumn.